The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Revolution comes with a price tag. You a slave to a flag in a country that clearly doesn't love you when they probably never have told you turn the other cheek. And they made it with a bat, fucking protesting them sinners. Told you go fight in the war, Vietnam, die good riddance. The man of the house rule took you from your siblings. Turned around a pump crack right up when you did it. And they turned all your leaders to martyrs. You was off in the war, now who was guarding your daughters? It was riots in the streets, killed Malcolm and Martin. Called the National Guard up because we ride with our guard up. And now it's blood in your guard. The Second Amendment don't apply to you. Everything that they taught you was a lie to you. See, they scared of your skin and they dying to shoot. Take the American dream and then die to pursue.
One day it'll all make sense. If it ain't about power, then it don't make sense. But none of that money matters when you live in madness. The one that you figure out that all you got is this. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger.
Good afternoon. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines known as USA Inc. Today's date is January 4, 2016. Yay, I said 2016 and not 2015 because I tell you, I have been writing stuff that I had to put the date in. And it's always the same every year. You just got to retrain your brain to write the correct date when you're writing checks, when you're, you know, whatever you need to do to put the date in. So, hey, I didn't say it was 2015. I said it was 2016. So today is Monday afternoon. I'm broadcasting out of North Carolina. Greetings to all our listeners across the planet. Hope that my voice finds you safe and sound in relatively safety and whatnot, considering that the whole planet, if you ask me, is a battlefield. You know, man, anything could happen to you at any time. We do have a program, I hope to be an informative program for you today. We will be speaking with Sister Ramona Africa about the upcoming parole hearings for some of the sisters, and I believe these are the only black women that are a part of the MOVE organization that are political prisoners and have been political prisoners for, 30, 40 years? So we're going to speak with one of their sisters, one of the survivors of the Philadelphia Police Department and the FBI bombing their home in Philadelphia in the 1980s, I believe that's when that went down. But we will be talking to Sister Ramona Africa. She's been on the program in the past, but it's been a long time. But whenever these political prisoners' parole hearings start to approach, I like to, you know, do what I can to spread awareness about their plight, their incarceration, their enslavement, in hopes that we can rally, you know, millions of people across the country to stand up for justice and demand that our political prisoners be released. You know, we'll see again celebrities get into some kind of trouble and whatnot, and millions of people will rally and proclaim their innocence and say, you know, get your hands off of them, leave them alone and all this and that. But, you know, we got real political prisoners in prison, y'all. And I would have to say it's just pathetic that the level of support that they have in the United States is minimal. It's minimal. I've seen people in France do more advocating for Mumia Abu-Jamal than I have seen black people in the United States advocate for Mumia Abu-Jamal. And that has to change. That has to change. I'm pointing that out in case a lot of people haven't noticed it as an area that we need to work on as a collective is turning out this mass support, whether it be on the streets, whether it be online, whether it be making phone calls, sending emails, whatever we have to do to get our sisters and brothers, our freedom fighters who are political prisoners, free. So we'll be talking to Sister Ramona Africa to that end here in about 5 minutes. Now, here is some of the things that's in the news. Of course, y'all probably have already been bombarded with images and stories about this so-called malicious group. I don't know if it's several different militias or if it's the same militia. I don't know. But I have a message for the so-called militias in Oregon who are occupying the federal government building in protest over the conviction of two arsonists who had their day in court and are set to spend the next 5 years in prison, if they even do that much time. This is also the same message that I had last week or the week before that. I'm not sure when I said it, but I'll say it again today. It's the same message that I had for all the U.S. military veterans that took to Facebook and Twitter and said that they would go to war with the federal government if Trump became the next CEO of USA Inc. and tries to round up and deport Muslim Americans. Same message that I have for them, I got for all these so-called militias and then some. Here is another story that came to me via one of the many websites that I'm subscribed to because I'm a information junkie. But do y'all remember the black woman by the name of Kelly Williams Bolar, who was convicted over lying about her residency to get her daughters into a better school district? Well, I seen a story today where it appears that in Chicago, you got numerous cases of out-of-district parents who have been lying about their children's residency, not to get them into schools that's in a different district, in a suburban district, a predominantly white district. Because usually those schools are a little bit better than the schools in the urban areas where many of those schools are being shut down and whatnot. But no, these are parents who live in these suburban districts who have been lying to get their children into the highly desired schools in Chicago. But of course, I didn't see, and there is a bunch of those cases, I didn't see not one instance of any of them being prosecuted and let alone being convicted and put in jail over it. So I thought that was interesting, and I just want to highlight that case. I want to highlight those cases of these parents lying. But apparently, you know, they're not getting the same treatment that Kelly Williams Bolar got for just trying to get her children the best education that she could, you know. But again, I have surmised that most of these schools are nothing but indoctrination centers. Like I've heard Brother Dave Attando radio show call them. They're not educating these children. People are not being educated. What they're doing is learning. All right. They're learning information, and a lot of that information is incorrect. They're not being taught critical thinking skills. They're not being taught researching skills. And I think, you know, no child is too young to participate. You know, well, we'll give them until, let's say, the fourth or fifth grade, that they should be able to, with help from their parents, be able to start researching stuff to find out information. That is the best thing you can do to train up a child, is not to accept what is being told to them, being taught to them, being learned to them by these teachers and whatnot. No, they had to get the information for themselves, because a lot of these teachers are not even aware of the many, many lies that they are teaching from these textbooks. So I want to talk about that story. And then, you probably heard of this story, but I'm going to bring it up again. But if you did not hear, there are a bunch of South Carolina legislators who want to spend millions of dollars to preserve the Confederate flag in a museum. And it's not really, you know, the Confederate flag or the flag of the Confederacy. It's the Virginia battle flag that the troops under Robert E. Lee had. So it's not even native to South Carolina, but they want to spend millions of dollars to preserve this piece of crap. And so I want to talk about that and the fact that they are one of the states that refuse to accept federal funds from the federal government to expand the Medicaid rolls. They didn't want to spend that money or accept any money and whatnot in terms of people, poor people getting help. All right, so those are some of the stories that we will be discussing today. Y'all bear with me as I work to get connected to our guest. Let's see, she should be showing up in my man, what's going on here? Y'all bear with me. Let me get the phone number because it should be showing up in my contacts and I should be able to just add her, but it is not. So I'm going to have to find the telephone number, which I do have, and just put her number in there directly. So y'all bear with me as I work through this. I don't understand. I just did a test call before we came on air. So, you know, we're not going to let anything deter us from getting in touch with Sister Ramona Africa because what she has to discuss is very important. So let's go ahead and add her and get her on the phone. By the way, if y'all have any questions or comments, y'all know the telephone numbers. I'll give them out later. But bear with me as I work to connect with our guest, Sister Ramona Africa. All right, there it go. I thought it was finna mess up on us again.
Hello?
Hello, Sister Ramona Africa. This is Scotty with Black Talk Radio News. We're on the air live. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's a lot of information that people need to know.
Most certainly, lots of information that they need to know. And I, before we go on to talk about the details of your sisters, of my sisters, of our sisters, Janet, Janine, and Debbie, with their parole hearing coming up in May, before we get into that, I will be talking later after our interview about these so-called militias in Oregon who have taken over a federal building. And I've seen all these apologists and whatnot for these suspected racists occupying this government, taking over this building. And then I'm hearing law enforcement types talking about, oh, be gentle with them, give them time to give up and let them express their demands, and we don't need to run. We'll just wait them out and let them go home. I've actually heard people.
What happened to Tamir Rice's? What about waiting for him? They didn't even tell him to put down a toy gun. Mm-hmm. They just shot him up.
Well, but I want you to tell people, because you are a survivor of when the Philadelphia police, with help from the FBI, bombed your home and killed your family members. You're one of the survivors. So please please give people the backdrop of the MOVE organization and that act of terrorism against your family. And as we move into talking about the upcoming parole hearings for Janet, Janine, and Debbie Africa.
Okay. Very briefly, the MOVE organization is a revolutionary organization for life, founded by a black man named John Africa. And what John Africa put MOVE in touch with is the all importance of life. And our initial demonstrations were at the zoo, at the circus, protesting the abuse and enslavement of animal life. We protested against chemical companies like Dow and DuPont Chemical for poisoning our air, our water, the soil that feeds us. We demonstrated against unsafe boarding homes for the elderly, you know, where they were being physically and emotionally abused. And the common thread through all of that is life, living beings, you know, life. And because MOVE takes such a strong stand for life, And because those that run this rotten system that we live under don't care anything about life, even though it's the force that keeps them alive. They got to breathe the air. They got to drink the water. They have to eat from the earth. They don't care. Their God is money. So when MOVE emerged with the powerful, undisputable wisdom of John Africa about the importance of life, and that should be everybody's priority, well, these people went crazy. They didn't want to hear it, and they didn't want us influencing anybody else about it, you know? So when we would have peaceful demonstrations, putting out very strong revolutionary information, that's when the beatings started, the unjust jailings. And MOVE made it clear that we are a peaceful people. We are uncompromisingly opposed to violence, but we're not stupid and we're not confused. We know the difference between violence and the principle of self-defense. You are not violent when you defend yourself, but you are violent if you allow yourself to be assaulted and attacked and abused and you refuse to defend yourself. Then you are violent because you are perpetuating, endorsing, encouraging violence. And MOVE does not do that. In order to do that, you have to be masochistic and ultimately suicidal. And MOVE is neither of those things. We don't believe in violence, but we do believe in and stand by the principle of self-defense. So that put us in direct conflict with those running this system. They attacked MOVE at our peaceful demonstrations. They beat MOVE men. They beat MOVE women. They beat, kicked pregnant MOVE women into miscarriage. You know, they even attacked our children. And MOVE said, oh no, you're not going to come at us like that and think we're not going to fight back. That's our principle. We fight back. We defend ourselves against anybody, a next door neighbor, you know, or somebody in uniform, whether it's a cop, judge, politician, whoever, you know, we will defend ourselves. And that led to a major police attack on MOVE designed to kill off the MOVE organization in August of 1978. In that particular attack on MOVE, no MOVE people were killed. MOVE people were beat. Our brother Delbert, people probably have seen the beating of Delbert as he exited MOVE headquarters, and cops attacked him, kicking him with steel-toed boots, hitting him, beating him with steel riot helmets, attacking him with rifle butts, just coming at him any which way they could. But no MOVE people were killed. One cop was killed. And everything about the shooting death of this cop clearly indicates that MOVE could not have killed him. Excuse me. And from the trajectory of the bullet that hit this cop and killed him, it was on a downward angle. MOVE people were in MOVE basement, 6 feet below street level. The cop was standing up on street level facing MOVE headquarters. No way in the world MOVE could have shot him on a downward angle.
From behind. Yeah, the shot came from behind in the upward angle, indicating it was possibly one of the police snipers who had their weapons trained on the MOVE headquarters.
Yeah. And not only that, within hours after arresting our family, MOVE headquarters was demolished. It was torn down. City officials tore it down. And we're saying that, according to them, is the scene of the crime. Since when do you destroy vital evidence like the scene of a crime in a murder case, a police murder, a cop killing?
Right.
You know?
Right.
If they thought Move People killed that cop, James Ram, they would have preserved everything and anything that they thought would prove that. But they demolished Move headquarters, you know, instead. Then our family went on trial, 9 people, for a cop being shot one time with one bullet from one gun. They prosecuted 9 of our sisters and brothers, and it was through a bench trial, it's called, by the judge alone.
No jury.
Not with the jury.
Right.
And my family selected that because they were not going to allow these officials to railroad them, which they knew they were going to do, or at least try to do, and then blame it on the people. Say, you know, you had a jury trial by a jury of your peers. You know, it wasn't us, wasn't the system, it was the people.
Wow.
Jury of your peers.
Sister Ramona.
And we weren't going to let them do that.
Sister Ramona.
So move.
Sister Ramona, this is the first time I ever have heard that described in such a way, and I had never thought about that, but that is just so revolutionary. By not allowing, they were looking to protect the community from being a part of this conspiracy to attack and enslave other black people, and so they, man, that was very strategic and forward thinking.
Right. Put the burden solely on the system and the person of that judge. You know, that was Move strategy. And, I mean, it worked, really, because while Move was eventually sentenced to prison, convicted and sentenced to prison, it is so clear to everybody that this was a railroad, that this system does not work for us, that there is no justice for us in this system, because the judge sat up there through the entire trial, heard all of the evidence, and then proceeded to convict 9 people, 9 people, one murder from one bullet from one gun, could not say who of the Move 9 he was, you know, saying actually killed this cop, because he didn't say one killed this cop, but, you know, they're all guilty because they all conspired or whatever. He didn't even say that. He convicted all 9 of murder and then sentenced all 9 to the same sentence, 30-year minimums, 100-year maximum sentences. Even though the women never had any weapons charges on them. The only testimony that the prosecution could muster up about the women, about my sisters, is that they were in the basement and they were holding babies. Not guns, babies. They didn't have any weapons charges on them. But yet this judge convicted all 9 of my family members of murder, sentenced them to 30 to 100 years, which, unless you're saying that everybody did the same thing, everybody had the same records, you know.
Right.
In other words, if somebody doesn't have a police record, has never been arrested, and somebody else had a police record as long as my arm, how do you give them the same sentence?
Right.
You're not supposed to. You're supposed to take all of that into consideration. He gave them all the same sentence and said, well, you said you're a family, so I'm sentencing you as a family.
Wow.
What legal law is that?
Wow.
What legal law is that? Then this is the coup de grace. After sentencing my family, a day or two after that, Judge Malnick, the trial judge, went on public radio about the trial of the Muvnai. And our brother, Mumia Abu-Jamal, heard him on there.
Mm-hmm.
So Mumia called in to the radio program. And he asked Judge Malnick, who killed Officer James Ramp on August 8th of 1978? Know what the judge said?
What?
He said, quote, I haven't the faintest idea.
Mm-mm-mm.
That's what he said after convicting and sentencing my 9 family members of murder and sentencing them to 30 to 100 years each. Now, whether you're a juror or a judge, in order to convict somebody, you are supposed to be convinced.
Right. Beyond a reasonable doubt.
Certain beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, I haven't the faintest idea. Does that sound like certainty beyond a reasonable doubt?
It sounds like he was certain that he didn't have any idea who did it. That's what it sounds like he was certain about. Wow.
Exactly.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah. So, we didn't go crazy at
Sister Ramona, your sound went out. Listeners, we just lost her. Let me get her back on the line. Bear with me. Her phone signal must have got lost. She is on a cell phone.
Your call has been forwarded to an...
All right. Let's see if we can get her back. Maybe she'll notice that we lost her. Let's try again. I apologize for that, listeners. Y'all bear with us as we try to get Sister Ramona Africa back on. May have to text her to get her back.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic...
All right. Let me go ahead and text her. I'm going to play some station. Take a station identification break. We'll take that early. I'll go ahead and play some message music as I work to get her back on the line. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting right here on the Black Talk Radio Network. Stay tuned. Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio, new black media for the new millennium.
What is racial showcasing? That means taking huge numbers of black people and putting them out front. There's going to be more of this all over the planet. Many, many millions of black people that you will see will be rolling in money. They'll be able to showcase the places where they live. They'll be able to showcase their knowledge and expertise. So you have television now, you have all of the mediums for doing this, for showcasing huge numbers of black people. I will say it will eventually run into the millions, so many that you won't be able to count them. Now, what is this for? This is for any black person that starts talking about racism in the future is going to be laughed at, because they're going to be able to showcase so many black people who are what you call quote-unquote successful that it will seem that racism has been put out of business. But white supremacy is a world business, and like any other business, it works on profits and losses, which means percentages. You go into business, you expect a certain amount of loss. If you're in the grocery business...
All right, we have her back. Yeah, we have you back. I was just about to text you. I didn't know if you realized that your line had dropped.
I don't know what happened. It just cut off.
Uh-oh. Did it just happen again? See, I don't want to sound like, you know, as they say, a conspiracy theorist, but these sort of things happen when we talk to certain people. Sister Ramona, we got you back.
Yeah, something strange is going on.
I was just telling the listeners to bear with us, because when we talk to certain people, sometimes these problems pop up, but we're going to fight through it anyway. The last that we heard from you was the certainty of this judge that he didn't know who killed this police officer. All right. So he was right. He was admitting to, if you ask me, judicial misconduct. So that's that's the last thing that we heard from you. So we do know that Janine, Janet, and Debbie is coming up for parole. They have served over 30 years as with
going on 38 years now.
Right. Going on almost 40 years now. I have talked to, you know, you in the past about, you know, the different parole hearings that was coming up for various of your family members. We talked to Brother Ori as well about them. And I'm pretty sure that, you know, it still remains the case that when they have come up for parole, that even the prison guards, the prison officials have recommended that they be released and even gave them a good report on how they have assisted in helping other prisoners and whatnot. So can you talk about that?
Absolutely. For the past 8 years now, prison officials, the parole people in the prison that, you know, prepare the inmates for parole, the superintendents and officials have recommended move people for parole over and over again, and have even expressed, bafflement as to why the parole board will not parole people. There was a head of security at Muncie Prison, a women's prison where I was in prison with my sisters. And the head of security there was nasty and racist when we got there. But we whooped him up so bad when he would come with that racist stuff. And our example, the strong, uncompromising, clean, righteous example that he saw coming from us, along with some strong revolutionary information that John Africa wrote up there to that prison, to people like him, he backed off. We were running in the yard one day, and he came up to us after we had finished. And he was sincere. You could tell he wasn't messing around. He said, "When are y'all going home? Everybody knows y'all didn't kill that cop." And he started running down the information about the destruction of the evidence and how that cop was killed with a bullet traveling on a downward angle when we were in the basement making it impossible for a move to have killed. I mean, he was running all this stuff down, you know? So I'm telling you, people are really looking at this example with the parole board, and they're really seeing it. They really are. And people are getting angrier and angrier about it. It's like, this is crazy. What are they doing? Why won't the parole board parole these people? Not one single move person that has come out of prison, and most of us have maxed out. A couple of my family members, they were forced to parole them because initially the stipulation they put on move was that we could not associate with any move person, that we had to completely disassociate from move, couldn't have no contact with any move person, and not one of us would agree to that. And they was getting so much heat, so much pressure on them, they had to back off of that. Mm-hmm. And they paroled two of our family members. Now, when the Move 9 comes up for parole, they come up with this nonsense about deny because they refuse to take responsibility for their offenses. And Move have been telling them, going on 38 years now, that they didn't commit no offense, that they're not guilty, you know?
Right. Let me add something to that, because we see it play out, you know, in a number of cases involving political prisoners, but also, you know, involving just regular prisoners, the wrongfully convicted. And that to me is like you're putting them on trial again. You're trying to coerce a confession to a crime that has already been adjudicated in the courts. So, I mean, I'm not an attorney. I didn't go to law school or anything like that, but I do have common sense. I'm not a dummy.
Exactly.
I know how to read. You know what I'm saying? And I know when something ain't above board. And that doesn't, that's not a board above board. A parole board's function is to see if these people are ready to be let out, been quote unquote rehabilitated, you know, and if they will reoffend when they get out, what kind of support network will they have when they get out, you know? And those are the things they're supposed to look at. They ain't supposed to be up there trying to coerce confessions out of people for something that has been adjudicated 30, 40 years ago. Go ahead, Sister Africa.
I was just going to say the Fifth Amendment to their constitution is supposed to protect people from, what do they call that?
Self-incrimination.
So how are you going to demand that somebody say they're guilty and incriminate themselves, even if they are guilty, let alone if they're innocent? Mm-hmm. How are you going to demand that they incriminate themselves, you know, in order to be considered for parole? That's against the very legality they're supposed to be upholding. Guilt or innocence is not an issue with parole. Mm-hmm. It's whether you have an acceptable home plan, job plan, whether or not you've been a problem inmate, and like you said, are likely to, you know,
reoffend when you get out.
Reoffend. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like I said, not one move person that has come out of prison ever went back. Ever got arrested again. Mm-hmm. And it's like seven of us that have been out. I've been out since 92. I've got family members that's been out since 88, 90, 92, 93. Not one of us had been back. So, you know, it's very clear that they just don't intend to, you know, release move people. The parole board doesn't. And if they have their way, they will keep move people in prison. But what we're telling people is that we, the people, have the power to pressure them and force them to release innocent, and I repeat, innocent move people. If these racist, crazy, kill crazy cops can run around shooting people down, shooting people 16 times in the back, choking people to death, putting chokeholds on people, etc., and never do a day, rarely ever even get charged, what right? Where are they coming from that they feel like they can call somebody else a murderer and throw them in prison for life, execute them? You know? I mean, we got to look at this contradiction and don't accept it.
I need to reiterate something that you just said that I've been seeing in the past couple of days as I've seen people over and over take the social media and proclaim the innocence of some celebrity, and I'm not on here to debate that celebrity's guilt or innocence, but millions of you have been taking the social media and expressing, you know, that you don't want the system to take down this successful black man or whatnot, and then, you know, whenever we do these programs on this network or whether, you know, some of the other political prisoner advocacy groups are putting information out about our freedom fighters coming up for parole, where is that same level of support? I don't see it. I don't see it. And we desperately need you, because this is why, especially when it involves the killing of a police officer, whether it was in an act of self-defense because that killer cop was trying to kill them, or whether or not they were actually shot by their fellow officers and then they just wanted to frame somebody for that killing. What do we see? The police unions getting all of their members to make calls and write letters and send emails to keep these people behind bars. We have to not only match that activity that they are engaging in, we have to go further and beyond that level of activity that we see coming from these police unions and whatnot. Hey. So I mean, since I just had to say that, because it just...
Oh, look, I appreciate that. And I have to say this. I take my hat off to Black Lives Matter. They have stepped up, and in Chicago, in Missouri, you know, in Ohio, they have stepped up and would not back up, you know, when these cops go around killing people. I take my hat off to them. They are doing more than I've seen a lot of people do in years. And I really don't see them being confused and misinfluenced by color either, because the example you was just talking about people taking the social media and defending folks and all that, let me just say, when my family and I were bombed in 85 and 11 of my sisters and brothers, men, women, and babies were murdered or burnt alive under the regime of the first Black mayor of Philadelphia, people had the audacity when he came up for re-election shortly after the bombing. And they had the nerve, Black people had the nerve to say, well, we have to support our first Black mayor. Mm-mm-mm. Excuse me? Excuse me? What about them Black babies he killed? Mm-mm-mm. You know, what about our Black men and women, our sisters and brothers that he killed and went on, national television in a nationally televised press conference and said he would do it again. How do you ignore that? And Wilson Good was reelected. The Black clergy of Philadelphia supported him, had a candlelight vigil for him, not for our family members that was murdered, our babies that were burned alive, but a candlelight vigil for him. And people wonder what's wrong, why all these things are going on today. Mm-hmm. The wrong message was sent 31 years ago. The wrong message was sent. And people, a lot of innocent people, are paying the price.
I say that, you know, again about the so-called, I call them the CEO of USA Inc. because this federal government is actually a corporation that incorporated in 1871. So when I, you know, people say President Obama, I say CEO of the USA, you know, he's a corporate officer and whatnot. But I had, you know, when all of those Black men, women, and children were being hunted down by them Arab militias supported by the U.S. government when they illegally overthrew Libya, one of the most progressive nations in Africa, you know, assassinated a Pan-Africanist, you know, Muammar Gaddafi, you know, who
first killed his daughter and then later this last time killed him and his family.
Exactly. And all of those Black children. And then when I saw Bernice King, the daughter of Reverend Martin Luther King, stand on the steps of that 50th anniversary of that march that occurred in Washington, D.C., and she stood up there and she said, "Let freedom ring in Libya." Ah, man, I almost threw my coffee cup through the doggone television. Did you not see all of those Black Africans that were murdered and still being hunted down and murdered to this day? because you wanna be, you know, in I guess, I don't know what to call that, you know, because you want to make good with the first black president or CEO of USA Inc. And I tell people, man, like Public Enemy taught me in their song, Welcome to the Terror Dome, every brother ain't a brother, okay? Mm-hmm. And we ain't all on the same team. So, you know, that's all I got to say to that. But sister,
it's very true. You know, we can't just assume things because of the color of somebody's skin.
No, we can't.
You can't. Mm-mm. Can't do that. That's a big mistake. Big mistake.
Now
that move ain't making that mistake.
So tell people all the ways that they can provide support for Janine and Debbie Africa with their parole hearing coming up in May. What are some of the actions that we want them to take?
Well, we want people and everybody that they know and can get to do the same thing to write the parole board. You can go to our website on themove.com and get the address and get all this information, where to write them, where to call them, and just really flood them. We have people all around the world, you know, flooding them with letters and phone calls about the Move 9. Now, one thing people should be aware of, too, that because parole boards across the country have come under fire because of their racism, because of their arbitrariness, you know, certain people they don't want to see released, and because they come under a lot of pressure from the Fraternal Order of Police organizations across the country. Some are called the Police Benevolent Society or whatever name they might go by. Mm-hmm. There is a movement afoot to disband parole boards and have the Department of Correction for, you know, each state handle parole. One of the main reasons that is talked about is something Move had been saying ever since our family members came up for parole. How is somebody that's going to see you once a year, once every 2 years, every 5 years, going to make a decision? How can they be qualified to make a decision about you when the people that are around you every day, you know, prison guards, prison officials, et cetera, that are around you every day are saying that you should be paroled, are recommending you for parole. But somebody that sees you once a year, every 2 years, whatever, they're more qualified to judge your readiness for parole. It's crazy. So there is a movement afoot to disband parole boards and have the Department of Corrections in each state handle that, you know, handle parole.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. We're not saying that the Department of Correction officials are any better than the parole board, but we're saying at least they're around. People.
They know the people.
Every day.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, in the case of the Move family that are enslaved on these prison plantations, that would help them because, again, the administrators have recommended that they be allowed out on parole.
That's right. They have.
So people, again, the website is onamove.com. That's on a move. Com, and please go there and get the information and do what you can to lend your voice again, because the parole board, but the police unions, the police benevolent associations, whatever they're calling themselves, okay, they will be trying to mobilize their base against the release of our sisters. And so we got to counter that. And it's not just a matter of just countering somebody because they doing something. We should be doing this because it's right and because it's just, and what's being done to them is an injustice. So I'm asking people to stand on the side of justice and demand the release of Janet, Janine, and Debbie Africa, who are coming up for parole in May, and as well as the rest of their brothers that are still in prison as well. Sister Ramona, mm-hmm. I want to thank you again for joining me today to talk about these very important issues and to talk about your family member and all the related issues to this unjust system. Is there anything that you would like to leave with the listeners in closing?
Yes, I would like to say, first of all, understand that this is not a MOVE issue. Doesn't begin and end with MOVE. Leonard Peltier, Sundiata Akoli, who I spoke with the other day, Dr. Matulu Shakur. I mean, the list goes on.
Herman Bell.
There is a brother, Veranza Bowers, mm-hmm. who did every day of his time and had several release dates, and at the time he was supposed to be released, they said, oh no, we can't let him go. Finally, when he did all of his time and was prepared to be released, the Department of Justice said, oh no, he's a threat to society, we can't mm-hmm. release him. He's done all his time. What could they use to not release this man? But they're holding him anyway. Guantanamo, you got people there that haven't been charged with anything, been there for decades. You know, this is not a MOVE issue that we're talking about. We're saying that people need to see these things for what they are. They should be angry as I don't know what, and if they're not, then you better question yourself, not us, you know? And finally, I want to give people contact information for us. I gave the website, but our email address is onamove, that's on a move, LLJA, for Long Live John Africa, @gmail.com. On a move, LLJA, @gmail.com. We can be reached by phone at 215-386-1165. We're not divas and thinking we're, you know, celebrities or anything. We don't hide from people. We're very accessible. You can call us. You can email us. We're revolutionaries, okay?
Most certainly. Well, thank you. Thank you again, Sister Ramona. And please, you know, keep us up to date. And we're going to have to schedule you more for regular appearances on our network because, you know, these things are going on every day. And yeah. You are, in my opinion, you are a prominent voice for justice, you know, when there are just not enough voices screaming for justice out there. And I know you got a heart for what's right and what's just. So on the move, sis. Peace and blessings
to you. On the move,
and
thank you, Scotty, for giving me the opportunity to inform your listeners.
You're very welcome anytime, any day. Peace and blessings to you. Stay safe.
All right. On the move, and long live revolution.
On the move. All right, folks, that concludes our interview with Sister Ramona Africa. I want to thank you all for hanging in there with us through the technical problems with the disconnections and whatnot. But we fought through that. At this time, I'm going to play some message music. I like to support independent artists Actually, I'm thinking about reformatting this radio station, Black Talk Radio Network's digital radio station. I'm thinking about doing certain times of the day, having a music in rotation during those certain hours, because I just want to support more of these independent hip-hop artists out there, as well as R&B. You know, I listen more these days to hip-hop than I do R&B. But if you got some positive music with a positive message, if you got some rebel music with a rebel message, you know, I'm interested in offering your music to our listeners. And so you can hit me up at admin@blacktalkradionetwork.com, or check out the page on blacktalkradionetwork.com, the Message Music Station. The Message Music Station, which is a digital radio station that Black Talk Media Project set up. That's all it is. That's all it plays is music with a message. So we're going to kick some message music. When I come back, I got a message for these militias out there in America. I got a message specifically for the militias out there in Oregon who are occupying a federal government building. You know, I just think what you're doing is foolish. I think that you are full of crap, and I'm going to tell you why. And it's the same message that I have for all the U.S. military vets that said that they would go to war with the federal government if Trump became the next CEO of USA Inc. And how I said, you all are full of crap as well. And I'll tell you why I think you're all full of crap on the other side. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, and we'll be back.
May appear a confusing blur of activities, each ant doing its own thing, but it can't be. Somehow the ants coordinate their actions so that large insects are overwhelmed, killed, and carried back to the base.
Pairs is dying, and my people are suffering. The money's still low, you should see how they budget it.
Just watch what comes out your mouth.
People are suffering. It's elementary, they want us all gone eventually. Pairs is dying, people are suffering. The money's still low, you should see how they budgeting. Pairs is dying, and my people are suffering. The money's still low, they want us all gone eventually.
I swear to God, living in this economy is like a robbery. The government taxing me when they owe me for my property. You niggas act like you happy to live in poverty. When I feel like a king, they gotta make these fools acknowledge me. I'm royalty and loyal to the feeling of it. The contrast make us look thuggish. We talk, walk, and look rugged. Naturally, nothing sad to see. We all a part of this tragedy. I'm mad at you, so why you mad at me?
We headed for the times of the nine. Watch out, six. Sun cycle on the rise. Moon cycle out the mix. Living on this planet of the snakes and the crucifix. Pardon yourself as I unk my way through. Marching with my A boom boom. Making my debut. Like great balls. Fire, nothing to save you in these replenishing times. I honor my dead, making my ancestors proud when it's off with your head.
Does my pencil possess potential to change mental jazz? Show what you can in this pack with essential less. What is essential to keep it the sharpest against you? Yes, what is essential to keep it like a temple? Blast, alter the temple, keeping the beat simple and fresh. While they whimper and rest, I'm intuition like the simplest gas. Into tradition, I'm on a mission until I transition to give the up and coming a better existence.
I've seen a Vegas. I'm reaching for a point or two. The older we get, it switches up the point of view. And they anointed you leader of the free world. Desolate minds refined to the B girl. The most benevolent is evident who I be. Graffiti on the wall, the crew drew Ali. Suit who I keep shifting on the paradigm. Raise the vibration, then go prepare the mind.
Define magnificent red gem. Dig deep, the omnipotent. All singing, I just speak the game plan. I pray for niggas, amen. That sharpie spray. Can I made man with suede bands, no street skating, no beat taking. For Pete's sake, he's a beast quaking, the scene shaking. No mistaking, the ants conquer the elephants. FTPRBG, the rest of the fella.
What's the ant secret that makes them the most efficient predators on Earth? Consuming more meat than lions, tigers, and wolves combined.
I'm way medicated, puff lying, lace sedated. In spades dedicated to culture that created
the essence of the lessons now delivered in my presence. Kalonji called upon me, so now I pose the question. How is it that the black came in whips and chains, having nothing else to lose and everything to gain? Now niggas entertain for some whips and chains, a white dame in some pain. That shit not strange, kinda hard holding down your dreams when you're black and in America with institutions set to bury you 6 feet underneath dirt for debt deep. Disciples psychological when making those ends meet. Your needs be a hand feeds the other teasers. Gather thoughts, grab the gatling for good reason. In between success, devil's greed, a pine box of mind jars and loose.
And why I come off and camouflage, can't take cloth. Eating lentils and vegetable broth, but I ain't never been soft. Beating the loss of forsaken by any cost. Bones aching, working hard, trying to bring home the turkey bacon, breaking laws of gravity. Fuck with the family and watch me savagely crush craniums and chest cavities and pray for the casualties. Cause my anatomy is naturally casually composed. This is self-construction for the soul.
I'm black dynamite, I'll blast you with my nitro. Spit a dope piece for the gold piece in the booth with five disciples. We channeling boot mind, the revolution sparker. With eight bars, cigar smoking some dark room on the altar. Watch the doctor work a mojo, walk the stage without a hype man. Electric verses turn the great crowd into light rain. Plus psyches for the LB, the brain food that's got hot. Fly wisdom called Saucy, the enlightener, that's Cyrox.
2012 and times are different yet the same. Nowadays the number of prisoners behind the cage outnumber amounts of those who slay during the trades and shame. We're killing ourselves over what that you blame. Getting shot instead of hang. Nothing changed for the better except the cheddar of corporate property gain. The more money in pocket, the more people in chain. Unite niggas who bang, destroy their main aim.
It's all connected, form a web like an Anzi. It's the people, Yahoo is the army. Start a top contender, for your plot to new agenda. They even reborn a track, sucker and food for dinner. All that garbage I'm pinning, this right here's the ending. Words of venom getting them wrapped in Egyptian linen. Coming for head, this rapper, colleague will shake the raptor. Only thing standing after, walking natural disaster. Rapture.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
State, a 150-strong armed militia is occupying a federal building in the state of Oregon. They're calling on what they deem American patriots to join them and stand up against the government in Washington.
And bring your arms, and you know, the point is, until that line is drawn and say, we've had enough of this tyranny, you are going to leave us alone, it will not change. And
yeah, right.
See, this is the power of America right here. People got together for this. It doesn't have to stop here. This could be a hope that spreads through the whole country, the whole United States. Everybody's looking for this hope because the government has beat us and oppressed us and took everything from us. They will not stop until we tell them no.
The militias say they're not ruling out violence either if police try to remove them from the occupied premises. The standoff started as a debate over the federal government's authority in local matters. Artizika Piskunov explains a bit more.
This all comes off the back of two local farmers first being convicted of arson, put in jail. This case was viewed by the authorities in the framework of the anti-terror law, which wasn't really explained to the locals of why this was done so. Then, after they served their time, it seems that a federal judge decided that it wasn't enough and, sentenced more time for these people. It seems that that's what caused this public outrage. It seems that it went much wider than the local public and touched the nerve of those opposing the federal government. We are looking at about 150 armed people who seem to have occupied federal building. They're calling the federal government as being tyranny. They're threatening to occupy more state buildings, and they're calling for more people to join them.
We're going to be freeing these lands up and letting, getting the ranchers back to ranching, getting the miners back to mining, getting the loggers back to logging, and where they could do it under the protection of the people. and not be afraid of this tyranny that's going to come upon them.
We know that local authorities have closed the local schools in that area. They're advising the residents not to go there.
The story is getting plenty of online attention today with the hashtag Oregon under attack trending on Twitter. People there are asking why heavily armed men are being allowed to act in this way.
Did I miss the call for the National Guard in Oregon? I recall them in Ferguson and Baltimore.
If they were Muslims, we'd be talking about bombing countries. But they are white Christians.
Peaceful, with some military-grade weapons, and said they're ready to die. Sure, why not?
A psychotic militia has taken over a federal building in Oregon. Tell me again how it's Syrian refugees we're supposed to fear.
So apparently you can walk up into a federal building looking like this. It just radiates peace.
We've just seen this man among the protesters. His name is Ammon Bundy. He's got previous experience of opposing the government too. In 2014, a dispute over ranch land between his father and the Nevada authorities led to an armed standoff. Federal agents faced heavily armed activists from all across the country at one point, ready to defend the ranch's interests. In the end, the security forces withdrew, with the activists proclaiming victory. Among those who came to show their support in the standoff was also a self-proclaimed civil militia called the Oath Keepers. They and other groups have been involved in other interventions too.
People who set schools on fire in Oregon have got less time what the Hammonds are facing right now.
We are supposed to spread freedom, not tyranny. And we must make sure that we put this to an end today.
Calling people our next door neighbors, terrorists. Somewhere we have to take a stand. We can't let those people, the government, put law-abiding citizens in jail?
One of the gentlemen that did step forward, the 21-year-old, have you guys written off to the door and asked them what they want?
And the people know, and they're waking up. And this guy is a problem, not part of the, he's not honoring his citizenship as an Oregonian, and he's not honoring the oath that he took to have this office.
What do you think the conversations are right now within the federal government and within the local law enforcement about what to do next? You know, we're looking at pictures from last night and from yesterday. We don't have anything new from there this morning. It's still early in the morning there. But we know that there are at least a dozen, maybe more, people on this property. Presumably, some law enforcement's either on the way or already there.
Yeah, I think what's going to happen, hopefully we won't do what had happened at the Bundy Ranch last year sometime or a couple years ago, is that we don't go out there with a large force, because that's exactly what they're looking for. And you know, we've got to negotiate this through. And I think a key part is going to be tomorrow, what happens at the federal courthouse. And I know there was a quote that you guys had picked up from the U.S. attorney out there in Oregon. And hopefully calmer heads will prevail here. And the last thing we need is some type of large confrontation, because that's when stuff goes bad. And I think in this particular instance, if we just wait them out, see what they've got to say, that eventually they're all going to go home. I mean, people are just starting to show up now, and this group could get fairly large with supporters as this news spreads out throughout the country. And hopefully if we just sit back, wait them out, things will calm down and everybody will go home.
You know what's going to happen next, though. You know the presidential candidates are going to get asked about this.
Right.
You know President Obama's going to be asked about this. You know it's going to become politicized. And we've already heard from activists online, many of them, I've been reading from them all morning, to say if these were Black Lives Matter protesters or if these were peaceful Muslim Americans, they'd be treated very differently by law enforcement. Do you think there's truth to that argument?
We're not talking about, I think you had mentioned it in the opening, because this is a very rural area. It is out in the middle of nowhere. What are they actually doing? They're not destroying property. They're not looting anything. Right, exactly. I mean, you know, there's a whole separate situation going on as to exactly why they're there, and that'll be worked out through the legal process. But I think now that they've taken over this location out at the Fish and Wildlife, this brings in the federal side. And I know the federal government has learned over the years how to deal with these types of incidences. Mm. And hopefully Fish and Wildlife will call in their federal partners, which I know they will, and sit down and figure out how to resolve this as peacefully as possible.
Scotty Reed in for this broadcast from behind these enemy lines that I call USAE. Man, oh man, where do I start? Oh man. Let's start. I was taking notes. And by the way, if you have any comments, any questions, any viewpoint you would like to express, you may do so by giving us a call at 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032 pound. Hit *6 and 1 if you would like to come in on air. You can also use the web-based flash phone to call in from anywhere in the world. Just enter those same or scroll down and get the appropriate number. Enter in the access code and then you can call in that way. You still need to hit *6 and 1 at any time you would like to speak. And the final way, you can give me a call on the studio line, 704-951-5030. That's 704-951-5030 is the studio line. Let me check my audio levels. All right. Okay. Where to start? First of all, I think they full of, you know what, I'm going to try to keep my language clean, but they full of crap. Talking about they had enough of tyranny and saying that this is something that can be beneficial to all people in America, when we know for a fact that they do not view non-white people as Americans. They don't. They just don't. All right? That what they're talking about is the rights of white people. They ain't talking about the rights of anybody else. They ain't talking about the tyranny that mainly non-white people are facing in this country. Let me go ahead and accept this call, area code 720. You're on Black Talk Radio News. Go ahead with your question or comment. Okay, they hung up. All right. I guess you didn't realize that I had your telephone number. Yes, you know, I don't do anything wrong with y'all telephone numbers, but if you're calling in to cuss me out and call me a nigger and all of that, you know, just know that I do have tracking capabilities, as every website does and all that. But, you know, I'm not going to be distracted. So, talking about these people, they've had enough of this tyranny. Now, if I remember correctly, Clive and Bundy, which his sons are a part of this, and he kept being referenced frequently, that whole dispute that they had was over federal lands and whether or not he was paying the fees to allow his cows to utilize federal land. All right. Now, we all are expected to pay fees and pay fines and all of that type of stuff. Not that I agree with, you know, all of the policing that's going on. But again, they expect other people to submit to the tyranny of the United States, but they themselves don't want to submit to it, and they will use violence in order to protect themselves. That, you know, that's just crazy. Let's try it again. Area code 720. Did you have something you would like to add?
Well, I would like to agree with you that I think it's awful that none of the news stations are carrying any of this that's going on, really. They are addressing what's going on overseas and not even looking at what's going on with these folks out in Oregon.
Are you, you're talking about the corporate media? Because when I got up today, this morning, one of my family members was already up, and I said, have you heard anything last night or today about this militia taking over a federal building, breaking in and taking over a federal building. And she said no, she hadn't seen anything. But most of the information I'm seeing is coming online.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I've been listening to the corporate media, and it's nothing.
It's nothing.
And actually, the footage that you just played is the most I've heard about it, the most kind of official that I've heard about it. Okay. Everything else has been word of mouth from other folks.
Okay. Now,
but thank you, Scotty, for all your all of your broadcasting. I love your show. I always listen. I don't always get to call in, but I always listen in. And I love what you guys are doing.
Thank you. Thank you. And don't hesitate. Don't be shy. If you ever have something to say, this is the People's Radio Station, and it's open to you.
Good. I'll call back soon. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Let me go ahead and say this. If what they are saying is true, if these two people who were convicted on an arson charge for burning up federal lands, and then once they served their sentence, this judge then moved to give them more time. Well, I'm against that, because that's an act of injustice, just in the same way that we just got through talking about the Move 9 family, where one cop was killed and the forensic evidence points to him being killed by friendly fire. All right, how are you going to be shot in, from the back and in the top of the head with a downward trajectory, and all the people who allegedly shot him are in the basement? All right, and then, you know, as you heard Sister Ramona state, and I have heard that video clip or audio clip of Mamiya calling into that radio station and asking the judge who convicted them and sentenced them to 30 to 100 years and asked him, well, who shot the cop? Who shot this cop? And then for this judge to slip there, I have no idea. I don't know who shot the cop. So I'm not going to rehash that interview and all of that. But I do not, justice is not based on skin color. All right. I don't know how many times, you know, people need to be told that, you know, the counter racist Neely Fuller, who a lot of people in my social circle like to quote and things of that nature. You know, he has said, and I played the audio clips on this program, because it's truth. It's truth that it's not black versus white. It is justice versus injustice. Now, that and then that is why I always talk about the role of proxy racists in helping a system that's built on racism. All right. And so we can't ignore any element of the system. It is not black people versus white people. No, it is people who believe in justice, who practice justice, who want to replace a system of injustice with one of justice. Now, if this is true, if these people serve their time, and then a federal judge going to say, oh, I don't think you were sentenced to enough time, so I'm going to give you more time. Now, I don't know the legalities of that. I don't know what precedents he cited in doing that. I don't know. But that, you know, on the surface of things, that seems incorrect to me. That seems like he's doing the same thing that the judge in Pennsylvania did to the Move 9 family. He's engaged in judicial activism from the bench, not based on any kind of law whatsoever, not based on justice whatsoever. So if that is truly the case, then I'm on the side of justice. But I'm going to tell you whose side I'm not on. And that is these people out there in Oregon who are rightfully raising this issue of injustice, if what they say is true. But I'm not on your side. I'm not on the side of the Oath Keepers who are racist. Okay. Who are racist. Many of you are former law enforcement. Some of you are current law enforcement. Many of you were out there pointing your guns at peaceful demonstrators in Ferguson. Now, you want to talk about some tyranny and some oppression. When you want to talk about the government preying upon citizens of the United States of America, I mean, all you need do is look at the Ferguson report. All you need do is tune in to this station on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time every Wednesday, when Brother Max does his research to show you that each and every state in this so-called union is Ferguson, where the same abuses that were being heaped upon the people of Ferguson is being heaped upon people all over this country. We show you the statistical data. It's not just us giving our opinion or speaking out of our emotions. Max, who mostly does that segment by himself, spends all week. He spends an entire week researching the laws in whatever state that they are highlighting and showing you how these criminals are heaping down tyranny upon the people in that state. And guess what? They're mainly black people. They're mainly Hispanic people. They're mainly indigenous Indian Americans. They're mainly poor people. But I've yet to see any freaking militia go out there and join them and say, we're with you against all this tyranny. Yeah, you have a constitutional right under the state of Missouri, as well as under the state of the federal constitution, that says that you have a right to assemble, to file your grievances, to protest. You don't have, it says nothing about requiring permits to protest or anything like that. Now, as you heard that one cop that was a former law enforcement official, probably in the Oath Keepers and whatnot, talking about when it was brought up about the police state and how they were suppressing the rights of the people in Ferguson who were out there demonstrating not only for the murder of Michael Brown, not only for his murder, but for what they had been going through for a very, 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 very long time. No, what did y'all do? Y'all cheered on the police thugs. Y'all cheered on the police state. Some of you even went out there and joined them. So you're racist. You're racist. So don't talk to us about you doing this and it can benefit all the people of the United States, because you ain't doing it for nobody but your damn selves. And you know that's true. You want to talk about freedom and liberty. You want to talk about, you know, people's personal property. I mean, y'all just disgust me. You're disgusting. You're disgusting. And then when one of the Oath Keepers, I don't know if y'all remember this, it made the news, but it wasn't really spread all across the news. But there was one Oath Keeper in Missouri who said, you know what? I'm not gonna let racial classifications rule me. I'm going to stand on the side of justice. What I think is happening to the black community in Ferguson is wrong. And these people need to know their rights and they need to exercise their rights, including the Second Amendment. And he said that we need to arm, you know, people who are legally able to be armed in Ferguson, and we need to do an armed protest together. Guess what? He was an Oath Keeper. Guess what El Oath Keeper's headquarters said? Oh, hell no. Oh, hell no. You know why? Because they racist. That's why they racist. They show us that they racist. They don't care nothing about the rights of non-white people in this country. And so that guy, I forget his name, but that guy, he left the Oath Keepers. Now, again, although if what happened to these two people is correct, that they had served out their sentence and then a judge came in and resentenced them to more time, yes, that's unconstitutional. Yes, that's illegal. Yes, that's an injustice. But guess what? I ain't taking up no arms and I'm not going to be standing out there with you because you don't do it for non-white people. You're part of the freaking oppression of non-white people in this country. You know the damn drug laws are unconstitutional. You know the number of people in this country who are in jails and prisons right now. 2.5 million, anywhere from 2.3 to 2.5 million people are in prisons and jails. Do some of them possibly belong there? Yes. If you're a rapist, if you're a murderer, if you're a robber, if you have done anything that harmed another individual, that intruded upon their life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, then you belong somewhere. You belong somewhere. I don't want to say you belong on the prison plantations, because they are corrupt and they are abusing people and they are raping people and they're using them for slave labor. So I wouldn't say you, but you need to be somewhere till you can be re-educated or rehabilitated or whatever it is you need, so that you are not out here harming other people. But the vast majority of people that are in prison, we ain't talking about people who have harmed other individuals, who have stolen, who have raped, who have robbed. No. What are they in jail for? Because they were using a drug or drugs that the United States government has outlawed, has prohibited, but did not do it in a constitutional manner. So you want to talk, yeah, no, we ain't saying we're not promoting the use of drugs or the sale of drugs. But what we are saying, or I should say I'm saying, and those of like minds are saying, that the United States government doesn't have the right to tell me as a grown person, as a taxpayer, what I can and cannot put into my body. You don't have that right. The only way you have a right to be concerned about what anybody is consuming is if their consumption is leading them to get on that highway and drink and drive, or driving under the influence of any other kind of drug, putting the rest of the public at risk. That's the only way that you should have some say in it. But if they're not doing that, if they're chilling in their homes, if they are on their own property, I don't care if they in the closet is growing some cannabis plants. I don't care if they got an acre or two of cannabis plants out there growing on their property. You don't have the right. You don't have the legal right. You don't have the constitutional right, because those laws you have passed are invalid. They are in violation of the U.S. Constitution. There's a reason they had to pass an alcohol amendment to prohibit alcohol, to make that those laws that they passed thereafter to be constitutional laws. Where, show me the constitutional amendment that prohibits the use of cannabis. Show me the constitutional amendment that prohibits the use of cocaine or any drug. There isn't one. There isn't one, because you don't have the right. You don't have the right. The only thing you can do that you have the right to do is help people who are on drugs that need help, if they ask for help. You have the right to get out here on the corner or take to the internet and say, kids, don't do drugs. Drugs can hinder your intellectual development. Drugs can cause you all kind of problems physically. Don't do the drugs, kids. You have that right. But what you don't have a right to do is then to take these kids who are misguided and using drugs and then throw them in a doggone youth detention facility, or throw their parents in a youth throw their parents in jail, or throw their parents in prison. That's tyranny, man. That's tyranny. And all of these cops are enforcing these unconstitutional laws. So don't talk to me about tyranny. Don't talk to me about you doing all this, it'll benefit everybody, you know, because the government in Washington, D.C. is so corrupt. I didn't see you out there with your guns talking all of this garbage, talking about George Bush ain't qualified to be the CEO of USA Inc. because he's violating the Constitution. You didn't say that when Clinton and the Republicans were passing the three strikes, you know, you go to prison, which is slavery for life. No, you weren't out there. No, you weren't. So, you know, I am under no illusion. I know that this is one of the most corrupt governments on the face of the planet. But you're only now coming out because they got a black CEO. And I don't take up for him. My allegiance is not to anybody's skin color. If you're doing wrong, if you are harming people, then guess what? You're an enemy of the people. And during our interview with Sister Africa, I told you what this man did in conjunction with the other criminals in his administration and murdering all those people in Libya. So it ain't about skin color with me, although my allegiance is first, is black first. I am a black man, proud to be a black man. I was born black, I'ma stay black, and I'ma die black. And my heart is with my people first and foremost. But if people who look like me want to practice injustice and they want to aid the people that are behind all of this, then guess what? You can get it just like they can get it. Because you have chosen a side. You've chosen a side of injustice. And I am not about being confused about what's going on out here and on Battlefield America. I'm not confused at all about the system and how it works. I know how it works. And it would not run as efficiently as it's running if non-white people wasn't part of that system and helping them. But getting back to these militias, that's the only reason you out there taking these stands now. That's the only reason. That's why you doing it, because it's a black president. You want to talk about him not being able to you know, being qualified to be CEO of America? I mean, all you got to be qualified to be CEO of America is do what the investors in that corporation want you to do. That's the only thing, is to show that you can follow orders from the people that's really in charge. That you are just a puppet, a sock puppet, and you're willing to put your name on and whatever their agenda is, then you are willing to be behind that agenda. Tyranny didn't start in this country with President Obama. Tyranny didn't start with Bush, didn't start with Clinton, didn't start with the other Bush, didn't start with Reagan, didn't start with Nixon. It started from the beginning. It started from the beginning where when you betrayed non-white people in this country who also gave their lives, gave their blood, gave their money in the American Revolution to throw off the tyranny of the British. But then what did those people like Washington and Jefferson do? Oh, they hijacked it. They hijacked it and they kept practicing slavery just like it's being practiced today. Slavery is being practiced. And it's legal per the 13th Amendment that says you can put somebody into slavery as punishment for crime. We heard that one guy talk about, oh, this a benefit loggers, this a benefit whatever workers he was naming. Really? Because it seems to me that the workers of America's jobs are under threat because these corporations, these state and the federal government is using prison slave labor. People like to talk about outsourcing. What about this insourcing of these jobs to prisoners? I don't see any of y'all out there talking about it's wrong. This is wrong. We shouldn't be forcing these people to work for pennies on the dollar to do work that obviously people who are not in prison would like to do, would love to do, that can't find jobs. I don't think people should be put to work that's in prison. I think they should be rehabilitated if they belong there. If they don't belong there, I believe they should be set free, but I don't see any militia groups trying to occupy the local sheriff's department or the police department that's out here gunning down all these innocent people. And if you want to think that they just gunning down black people, they gunned down over 500 white people in 2015. I don't see you standing up to any of that tyranny. I don't see you standing up to any of that oppression. I wrote an article and we talked about it on New Abolitionist Radio. You got 1 million veterans in prison right now. 1 million veterans. Most of them are recent veterans. Coming back from Iraq, coming back from Afghanistan. These are veterans, right? Who are being used as pawns on the geopolitical chessboard. I'm former military myself. I got out when I realized that I wasn't fighting for nobody's liberty. I wasn't fighting for nobody's freedom. I wasn't trying to free anybody from tyranny. No, what I was trying to do is free oil for Western corporations. That's what I was sent over there to do. That is what the vast majority of all military are being used to do, to secure or steal resources for the use of these corporations and Wall Street. So don't talk to me about patriotism. Don't talk to me about the Constitution. Don't talk to me about freedom. Don't talk to me about liberty, because y'all are full of crap. And you know you're full of crap. I don't want to hear that. Now, these people are breaking, they're breaking the law. Now, I had this white man contacted me. I was going to bring him on the program, but he posted this video to Vimeo and he was like, I would like to have a conversation with you about the content of this video. So I go look at the video and it's respectability politics. Here's a white male sitting up here trying to tell black people how they should protest and whatnot, how they should be engaged in the system in obtaining their freedom. I'm like, after I watched that, I got back in touch with, I'm like, hell no, you're not coming on here, because you don't have the right as a white male to be standing on the outside using all of this propaganda put out by the corporations to demonize peaceful protesters, and then you want to come on and talk about we need to do it like how Martin Luther King Jr. did it back in the day. Yeah, you expect us to allow police to sic dogs on us and hit us with fire holes and all of that kind of stuff. Now, there's some black people that's engaged in that type of stuff, but I don't promote that type of stuff. I promote freedom by any means necessary, as was taught to me by many elders. So that, but look at what they're doing in Oregon. Ain't nobody telling them to engage in respectability protest and whatnot. Nobody saying there's breaking the law. They broke into a building. They broke into a federal building. That's a crime. Now, I may agree with the protest itself, and I don't tell people how to get their freedom or how to fight the government. I don't do that. But y'all have sat up for years now and pointed the finger at black kids out there in the street, because it's mainly kids, college students and whatnot, and try to demonize them and try, like the one cop gonna say, well, this is in a rural area and they're not destroying property and they're not doing this and that. Well, guess what? Neither were the protesters who were out there peacefully protesting. What, one or two people, if they burn down a building, if they set some police cars on fire, how does that represent the tens of thousands of people who have been participating in these demonstrations? It don't represent them, and you know it don't represent them, but you're racist and you want to demonize the entire movement for justice. You want to demonize the entire movement against the police state. You have placed yourself in direct opposition with people who are out there fighting for something that's not just going to benefit black people, it's going to benefit all people. Because again, while black people are the main targets of these killers, these modern day enslavers, they are not the only ones being killed. They're not the only ones being enslaved. And so if this police state is dismantled, that's going to benefit you. That's going to benefit everybody. Like you're trying to say, you breaking into a federal building with your guns and then threatening violence and retaliation if they try to make you leave this federal building you broke into. Okay. These people, man, they just really make me sick to my freaking stomach, man. They make me sick to my stomach. In the pit of my stomach, they disgust me. Because they're the biggest hypocrites on the planet. They are part of the tyranny and injustice. It is only when they perceive that Washington, D.C. and these politicians are doing something to limit or take away their rights, do they stand up. But when it comes to the mass enslavement of non-white people in this country, oh, y'all ain't nowhere to be seen. Or you're on side of the enslavers. You're on side of the modern day slave catchers. You got modern day slave catchers calling themselves oath keepers. Oath keepers. What oath you keeping? The only oath you keeping is you are legally representing the 13th Amendment because, you know, you out here. Well, let me back up. I don't want to sound too confusing. First of all, you enforcing unconstitutional laws to put people into slavery that is legal per the Constitution. That's who you are. That's who you are. And you want to talk about some oath keeping. Some oath keeping. It wouldn't be, the United States wouldn't have the world's largest prison slave labor force if it was not for cops. You're stealing people's freedom. You're taking people's liberty. You are on the front lines of injustice. So don't talk to me about no freedom. Don't talk to me about no liberty. Don't talk to me about the Constitution. Don't sit up there and think I'm ignorant enough to think that what you're doing is for my benefit or the benefit of anyone else except yourselves. It's all you concerned about. And if this was black people, look what happened to the black people occupying the 4th Precinct Police Department. They didn't break into the building. No, they just set up tents in a little area outside of the 4th Precinct in Minneapolis. And what did some of your kind do? What did your kind do? Well, you went on, put a video up on social media, calling them den dudes and other derogatory names. All those people were doing was exercising their constitutional rights, their under the Bill of Rights, to protest. And they were peaceful while they were doing it. You make this video, then you go out there to intimidate them, and then you end up shooting 5 of them. You shot 5 of them. And then you haven't even been charged with terrorism. You haven't even been charged with attempted murder. You've been charged with assault. And we got that prosecutor up there making excuses, saying, well, this is all we could charge them with, and it carried the most time. How about attempted freaking murder? You know, because, you know, usually when you shoot somebody, the intent is to kill them, right? I didn't see any militia groups go out there to protect those protesters from anybody who would deny them their constitutional rights to stand up to tyranny, to stand up to injustice, and to demand accountability. That's why you're full of crap, man. That's why your message falls on hollow ears. We ain't trying to join y'all. And I'm talking specifically to the people under the umbrella of the American militias that came on Tando radio show to tell us how y'all were going to arrest all of these corrupt criminal people and telling black people to just keep it peaceful and don't use violence. See, that's what I'm talking about. When it comes to black people, You want us to be peaceful and nonviolent. You don't want us picking up guns to protect ourselves. And yes, I see your website and what you're sending out from your website. But see, when it comes to white people picking up guns to protect their rights or to stand against tyranny and injustice, then you're all for it. That's racism. That's why I'm not trying to link up with you. I don't want to hear anything you have to say to black people. I don't know if your bias is unconscious or if it's conscious bias, but it's bias nonetheless. And I'm pointing it out to you today. Don't come to us talking about what we should do to oppose tyranny that you ain't willing to do yourself. I don't see anybody from the American militia movement saying, oh, y'all Oregon protesters, y'all should have kept it nonviolent. You shouldn't have broke into that federal building and you shouldn't be out there with guns and issuing, you know, codified threats about if the police come in to try to remove you, that you're going to react with violence. I don't see anybody, so-called patriots, telling them to be nonviolent. I don't see any so-called patriots telling them to stop occupying a building illegally, to keep it peaceful. I don't see that. Do you see it? I hope you do, because I'm trying to hold a mirror up to your freaking face right now. We ain't trying, don't be coming to us trying to tell us how or what we should do when we are on the front lines and always have been on the front lines of freedom in on any continent. You want to talk about American patriots and whatnot. The first casualty of the American Revolution was a black man, a non-white man. He was half African and half Indian. His name was Crispus Attucks. And when the British soldiers were abusing that little teenager in whatever community that was in Boston, he told others that we should not take this. This is wrong. This is police brutality. This is tyranny. This is injustice. And they went out there to confront them British soldiers. Where's Crispus Attucks' monument in Boston? He doesn't have one, do we? Half of the American Revolutionary Army was non-white. Why all we see on TV and in movies and these monuments is white people? Because you racist, that's why. You are deceiving people to think that you are the only ones who stood up against tyranny of the British. Then you want to hold up racist, white supremacists, enslavers, rapists like Thomas Jefferson, like George Washington, that vile human being stole the teeth out of one of his enslaved victims to make himself some dentures. And I'm supposed to think that you believe in justice and liberty for all? And don't give me that crap about those were the times, because they're practicing slavery today and you ain't calling them out on it. In fact, you're helping the most powerful white supremacists in this country and their black lackeys and other non-white stooges enslave more people than any country on the face of the planet. Where is your freaking freedom movement? You sick, man. You sick. And again, most of this is only because you got now a black CEO of USA Inc. Now you got your second black U.S. Attorney General. That's why you're opposing them, because you don't believe in justice, man. That's where most of your stuff is rooted in. It's racism and hate for those people because they're black. Are they engaging in injustice? Are they upholding a system of racism? Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Just cause they black don't mean that they in there to help black people. If they was in there to help black people, they wouldn't have got in there. They wouldn't have made it that far. Or they would be dead. Because one of you racist bastards would assassinate them. People, y'all need to educate yourselves. Y'all need to get informed about the true history of this country. And you need to stop practicing racism. Ain't nobody holding a gun to anyone's head, forcing them to practice racism or to aid a system that practices racism. Nobody's holding a gun to these people here. They do it because that's who they are. They do it because they want to be a part of something as it gives them titles and an elevated status and a big fat paycheck. That's why they do it. They ain't got no allegiance to nobody. I'm just tired of it, man. And we need to have an honest conversation about it. You want to come on Black Talk Radio Network? Do that. Call me. Call in. Let's have an honest conversation. Don't call in and tell black people this and black people should do that. Or black people shouldn't do this or do that. No, don't come in. No, let's talk about what you plan to do to end the tyranny that's affecting all people, not just your particular group or your particular class. Let's talk about ending the injustice that's happening to everyone. Let's have that conversation. How about you confront the racists in your midst? And it is perfectly clear that Oath Keepers are racist, or they wouldn't have treated one of their own members the way that they treated him and denying him permission from working with black people in Ferguson to stage an armed protest to express their Second Amendment rights and to send a message that we will not be preyed upon. We will no longer be your victims. That we will stand up to you and we are willing to give our blood and die for freedom and liberty of our communities. No, Oath Keepers wasn't for that, was they? Hell no, because they racist, that's why. So until y'all eliminate the racists in your midst, don't come to me. I don't want to hear nothing you have to say. Nothing. You want to practice justice? Start in your own damn community practicing justice. And that means opposing those who practice injustice within your ranks. Ain't nobody making cops enforce unjust, illegal laws. They do it because they get a kick out of oppressing people. We see whose community getting targeted the most. And then you got this former cop on CNN talking about, let's just wait them out. And eventually they will go home. That ain't what the hell y'all was calling for when people were peacefully demonstrating in Ferguson, peacefully demonstrating in Baltimore, peacefully marching down the street in New York. No, you were calling for their oppression. You were calling people to attack them. But when it come to armed white men and women breaking into a federal building, even though I may agree with their grievance that it's wrong for somebody to serve their time and then a judge to then say, oh, I don't think you did enough time. Let me put that. Hey, that's what they do through the parole boards. We just got through talking about the Move 9. We just got through talking about the Africa Sisters, where even the prison jail officials say they should be paroled. But then you got these parole boards. A lot of them former cops got ties to law enforcement and whatnot, giving them more time. making them serve out. Make what they want them to do is die in prison. But we got law enforcement saying, "Oh, let's just not overreact when it comes to white people. We don't want to overreact, y'all. Let's not send a overwhelming force like they sent against the people of Ferguson. No, let's not send, you know, thousands of cops to stand by and intimidate them. Let's not do that. No, 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 no. Let's just wait them out. Let's hear what they have to say. And eventually, they'll go home." Do you know how many people are facing trial or in jail right now for protesting in Ferguson? Not for burning down buildings, not for setting cars on fire. And how the hell we know Oath Keepers didn't burn that building down or set those cars on fires? How do we know people weren't paid to do that so that y'all can then turn around and demonize everybody else who weren't involved in that kind of activity? How do we know y'all didn't do that? Just so you can then turn around and say, "Oh, they were destroying, you know, all this property and you know, engaged in all this criminality. Let's just leave them alone. Those are their streets. Damn, it's a 70% black town. They paying all the damn taxes. That's their streets. Their constitution says that they have the right to do that. Why are those police out there in riot gear and armed personnel carriers and snipers on the roofs and pointing guns at women and children and whatnot? Why are they doing that? Don't they know? Oh, they, man, just let them people have their say and they eventually go home. No, no, you weren't calling for that. Thousands of them got arrested. Not for doing anything unconstitutional, not for doing anything illegal, but for doing what the Constitution says is their right to do. And you still demonizing these people to this day. They still got court dates coming up. Some of them might still be in jail. Although I read that Beyonce bailed a whole lot of them out. But we got people in Baltimore facing trials. People in New York and whatnot. Hell, the police unions even threatened. What's that that white filmmaker name? He got a film out called The Hateful Eight. I even wrote about his film and saying how people should support that film. And I don't normally go to the movies or even talk about entertainment that much. But since he stood up, what was that white man's name? I can't think of his name right now. He's a well-known filmmaker. But when he stood on the side of the oppressed people of New York and said that this is wrong, that these cops shouldn't be getting away with murder and whatnot. And what did the police unions do? They took to the television, took to the mic, and started targeting him. And talking about boycotting his movie and whatnot. I can't remember that man's name, but anyway. Yeah, that's your reaction. That's the police reaction to somebody expressing a First Amendment speech right. It's to target them. So y'all can kiss my ass, all right? Just kiss my ass. Now, I ain't calling for the federal government to drop a bomb on top of that building and burn y'all up in it alive like they did the Move family in 1985. No, I'm not calling for that. But what I am calling for is for you to stop practicing racism and stop believing in the myth of white supremacy. I'm calling on you to form your own movements against slavery in this country. I'm calling on you to oppose the slave catchers out there in the streets. If you don't think if you are one of those people that falsely believe that slavery was abolished, again, just go read the 13th Amendment. Matter of fact, this past Saturday night, we had our first ever, I think the first in history, you know, because they didn't have technology the way we got technology back in the 1800s, even though I know they were abolitionists during the 1700s, 1600s. Whenever there was somebody practicing slavery, there was always someone talking about abolishing slavery. But I'm talking specifically about the abolitionist movement of the 1800s and how they would have abolitionist meetings at each other's houses or at the local church or wherever. Well, we had the very first abolitionist meeting online Saturday night. That's what we're calling them now. We're going to have them every Saturday night at 9 o'clock for all the different people who are a part of the new abolitionist movement, moving against 21st century slavery and human trafficking. We're going to have where we can meet and greet each other, see each other through video technology, talk to each other, and just have an abolitionist meeting and talk about strategies and whatnot. Why don't y'all form an abolitionist movement or join an abolitionist movement? If you really against tyranny in this country, if you're against all of this, then join the abolitionist movement. Listen, I am over my time. We got Brother Dave coming on. Brother Dave.
Scotty, take your caller. Take your caller at FNQ because the conversation is way, it's just too important. Just
okay.
Don't worry about it. Take that caller.
Okay, let me go ahead and take this caller. Area code 973, thank you for calling in. What's on your mind?
Happy New Year, Mr. Reed. Just want to wish you a Happy New Year. And also to Mr. Nguyen for letting you take the call. I just want to say you sound like you're very, very much on fire, Mr. Reed, coming out for the new year. You know, I'm new to the station, probably maybe 6 months into the station. So I didn't hear you last year. So maybe you may say I was on fire last year, but I can only account for what I know. I want you to also keep on keeping on what you're doing. And I'm so glad, again, that I did find the Black Talk radio station, because they're, like you said, they're like Mr. Law said, there's so many of these stations are going to put in. I live here in the New York, New Jersey area, and what they have come on is so sad. It really, really is sad. So as the guy was saying, I listened to a lot of your podcasts. One of the guys was saying that I know that the station is growing. I hope for 2016 to be a banner year for the station. More people coming on, more women's shows other than the Lotus Place. But I know that's the start. So I just want to wish you and yours a Happy New Year, and to you, Mr. Nguyen, also. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you. May you be prosperous. May we finally come up with the answers and the solution to end this system of racism and white supremacy and oppression that is oppressing so many people across the planet. And by the way, you will be pleased to hear that we launched another program this past Sunday, just yesterday. It's called Shifting Paradigms, and it is hosted by our sister Zion. Zion is the host of that program, and her first show was yesterday, and she'll be on every Sunday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern time. But thank you for the well wishes and the support you have given us. Okay, listen, I got to close out the program, make way for a Tando radio show tomorrow. I will pick back up on the stories that I didn't get to talk about today, but I have linked to those stories because there, you know, was a story of this Black mother who was arrested, convicted, and jailed for allegedly falsifying her residency to send her children to a better school in a district that she didn't live in. And so I came across information today that shows not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but a multitude of cases of people living in outside of the city of Chicago lying about their residency so that their kids could take up slots in the most desired schools in Chicago. And but yet these people are not being prosecuted. They're not being jailed. And I'm not calling for them to be prosecuted. I'm not calling for them to be jailed. But again, I just want to point out the inequities that we see. If you're Black, get back. You know, if you're white, you're all right. All right. And these people are not being prosecuted in the same way that this Black mother was prosecuted. And also about the idiots down there in South Carolina that want to spend millions of dollars to preserve a fake Confederate flag in a museum while they were refusing to accept millions of dollars of federal taxpayer funds, which was really, you know, their citizens paid those taxes. Why you would turn it down just because you're evil, probably, where you didn't even want to expand the Medicaid rolls for poor citizens, whether they're elderly, whether they're children. That's just ridiculous. So those are some stories I'll touch upon tomorrow. Make way for Tando Radio Show, which is coming up here as soon as I close out the show. Listen, recognize the fact that you live behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. It's Battlefield America out there. Casualties are being created every day. You need battlefield awareness. You need to develop battlefield skills to decrease the likelihood that you will become a new slave or one of these people murdered in the streets by these slave catchers. So with that said, y'all just be careful and hone your skills. Peace and blessings to all.
See what I've been through, see what I go through. I don't look at you, cause I don't know you. Know where to go to, know where to hide. What does it take nowadays to survive? See what I've been through, see what I go through. I don't look at you, cause I don't know you. Know where to go to, know where to hide. What does it take nowadays to survive?
Long-time rappers ain't dope as us. When you hear rappers in the club, you hope it's us. Back in the days, they used to smoke the dust. But cats kept jumping off the roof too much. So today, we don't abuse the Dutch. We use our minds to write rhymes that you can touch. My feet stay planted on the ground. You want that soft pop shit, you better book another sound. We get down. I know the streets. Y'all rappers got maps out looking all around. Y'all want the crown. But why should I battle you next week? They're gonna put you in the ground. That's a waste of time. I'd rather blaze a rhyme or someone trying to raise their mind. Bucktown, USA, Boogie Down, Connect. Yo, Buck, what the fuck they gonna say?
Who cares? They want that pot shit. That sore pit hot shit. That KRS and Buck not shit, boy. Beats banging on your door like rent time. I invent the rhyme that was meant for your mind. Or I get physical. I mean physical. I might mean with a smile, kill you in style. Wow.